Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Oil company BP, the longtime operator of Prudhoe Bay, announced today it has agreed to sell its entire Alaska business to Hilcorp. BP has played a significant role in the state's history and economy, starting in the late 1950s when it helped discover Prudhoe Bay. But as Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, that story is now coming to an end.
BP is moving to sell all of its Alaska assets to Hilcorp, a company headquartered in Texas, for $5.6 billion. That includes all its interest in Prudhoe Bay, all its interest in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and its exploration leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. BP's exit from Alaska has been rumored for years, but the gossip intensified in recent weeks. Rowena Gunn is a research analyst for Alaska with Wood Mackenzie, and she says Alaska represents just around 2% of the company's global portfolio.
When you're BP and you're a massive company, you've got assets all over the world, it's hard for Alaska to compete with allocation of investment. And with BP being so large, often the majors aren't quite so good with the mature late-life fields because they've got such large overheads.
In other words, while BP is big for Alaska, Alaska is no longer big for BP. In a statement, BP says the company is, quote, steadily reshaping BP, and today we have other opportunities, both in the U.S. and around the world, that are more closely aligned with our long-term strategy and more competitive for our investment, unquote. The company has largely stopped exploring for more oil in Alaska, instead focusing its efforts on stemming the decline of oil production at Prudhoe Bay. According to BP Alaska, the company currently employs over 1,600 people and supports thousands more jobs. Asked about the fate of those employees, in an email, a Hilcorp spokesperson said the company's plans for BP's workforce are still developing, and that process will take a number of months. But Hilcorp is known for purchasing older oil and gas fields and revitalizing their production by streamlining operations. Rebecca Logan, CEO of the Support Industry Alliance, says she thinks it's likely jobs will be lost during the transition.
You know, you have to remember that we're coming off a horrible 3 years for our industry, right? Our members laid off close to 6,000 people, and nobody ever thought we'd gain all of those jobs back. And so people are pretty fluid right now and pretty efficient. They had to be. And so I think they're prepared to continue working in that environment.
But Logan says it's too soon to guess how many jobs will go away. And she thinks it's a good thing that Hilcorp wants to keep investing in the giant oil field. Hilcorp's presence in Alaska has grown substantially since it arrived in the state in 2012. In 2014, Hilcorp bought interests in four other North Slope oil fields from BP, and it's now by far the biggest oil and gas operator in Cook Inlet. But the company has drawn attention for several safety incidents in recent years, including a months-long gas leak in Cook Inlet in 2017. Andy Mack led Alaska's Department of Natural Resources under former Governor Bill Walker. He says the state needs to ask some big questions about the deal.
What are the standards that Hilcorp will impose upon themselves as operator? And what are the expectations that we should have as a state for the operator of the Prudhoe Bay unit? This is not a trivial matter. In fact, it's an incredibly important matter.
In response to a question about their safety record, the Hilcorp spokesperson said, quote, regarding our environmental performance, while we have not been incident-free, Hilcorp has focused intently on achieving high standards of safety and environmentally responsible operations, unquote. The sale is still pending state and federal regulatory approvals. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
The top tribal judge for the Tlingit and Haida Tribal Court, Deborah O'Gara, is the new magistrate judge for three small communities in southeast Alaska, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. As KFSK's Angela Denning reports, O'Gara hopes the transition will help build bridges between the tribal and state court systems.
Deborah O'Gara is working late on a Wednesday evening. She's at the courthouse in downtown Petersburg trying to figure out how the place works.
I've only been on the job for 2 weeks.
It's a different kind of judgeship than she's had for the last 14 years. She was the presiding judge for the Tlingit and Haida Tribal Court in Juneau.
Rules are a little bit more relaxed. Everybody who comes into court can talk. There's some evidence rules, but they're not as strictly adhered to as in the state court.
O'Gara's been a lawyer for 30 years in both tribal court and state court. So why move back to the Western court system? You could say that O'Gara is comfortable moving between cultures. She spent her youth with family in urban Seattle and in remote mountain village on the lower Yukon River.
Two completely different worlds. Absolutely two completely different worlds.
O'Gara is used to the Western way and the native way of living. She is Yupik, Tlingit, and Irish. She went on to become a lawyer and earn her master's degree in public administration. She says by taking this new job in Petersburg as magistrate judge, she hopes to build cultural bridges.
I think it's paramount that our two different court systems work hand in hand, not in competition with each other, but really in collaboration. And so I see this job as an opportunity to just help build those collaborative ties a little bit closer, starting one community at a time.
None of the three communities O'Gara is overseeing has a tribal court. Most present-day tribal courts in Alaska are just starting up with new federal funding through the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The Tlingit and Haida Court in Juneau is an exception, having formed 15 years ago. Still, O'Gara says she plans to bring those tribal court skills with her to her new state court job. That might include bringing back circle peacemaking.
For some of our disputes, especially in our families, sometimes a non-adversarial forum can sometimes result in some really good decisions.
With circle peacemaking, all of the parties get together and come up with a problem-solving decision and how they, as participants, will implement it.
It makes it a little bit more productive, I think, and long-lasting.
O'Gara's interest in law started with civil rights stories her family told her. She remembers hearing about her Tlingit grandmother being arrested for helping someone vote.
And this was before women had the vote, and this was before natives had the right to vote, and she was arrested for helping one of the elders in Wrangell to go down and vote.
Her grandmother's son happened to be a lawyer and defended them in court, and the charges were dismissed. And that planted the seed for O'Gara. Now, she hopes that her new job will help inspire more natives to become part of the justice system.
If I can open up the door just a little bit more to make room for more native judges on the bench throughout Alaska at all levels of our court, of our state court system, then it'll be worth relocating here for however long they'll have me here.
Magistrates have limited jurisdiction and usually oversee misdemeanor cases. But according to a press release by Alaska's 1st Judicial District, O'Gara might fill in as a standing master for the Superior Court because of her experience. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
A prime piece of waterfront real estate is up for grabs, and the city and borough of Juneau is making a play. The 2.9-acre parcel known as the Subport is owned by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Right now, Tracy's Crab Shack rents the back of the lot, and construction equipment clutters the front of it. The Trust Land Office announced the sale in May, saying they want at least $3.6 million. Sealed bids will be accepted until September 6th. City Manager Rory Watt says the city will put in a bid. If they get it, it will be paid for with marine passenger fees.
My expectation is we're going to get it. I think it's our waterfront. It's our economy. In a lot of senses, it's our future.
It's not immediately clear what the city will do with the property if it wins the bid. Watt says it could become a small vessel harbor or a transportation hub for vehicles or water taxis. But there's also opportunities for the city to partner with private developers. Plans to build an ocean center and a yacht marina on the property fizzled out after the trust failed to respond to an offer from local developer Doug Tricano and the nonprofit Alaska Ocean Center. They partnered on the proposal and made an above-market offer on the property in 2016. Bob James is on the board for the Ocean Center. He says they realized about a year ago that their offer wasn't going anywhere.
To put it bluntly, we're in the hands of the city now. If the city does get the property, then the city's going to be approaching different developers, and I know they'll approach the Ocean Center, and we may become part of that development through the city.
The trust manages about 1 million acres of land across the state. It uses the money earned through land sales and other investments to fund services like mental health programs and alcohol and drug abuse treatment. The trust will open the bids on September 9th. If the city's bid is successful, the assembly will have to move quickly to approve the purchase and allocate funds. Multiple Alaska Airlines flights were hit by lightning in southeast Alaska on Sunday. Alaska Airlines confirms that flights 64 and 65 both had lightning strikes from storms that moved through the northern panhandle and also knocked out power in the capital city on Sunday. Flight 65 was heading to Juneau from Petersburg. Leo Luzak of Petersburg was a passenger.
Yeah, we were descending into Juneau when they flew through a big cumulus cloud that started hailing, and then we saw the flash outside the window and heard a big boom from getting hit by lightning.
That flight landed in Juneau soon after. Luzak says the pilot notified passengers of the lightning strike and said the plane needed to be inspected. Passengers disembarked and waited in the Juneau airport for a flight to Anchorage later that evening. Juneau's airport also lost power during the storm. Alaska Airlines says that plane was flown to Seattle without passengers for further inspection. Meanwhile, Flight 64 was flying out of Juneau that day and also suffered a separate lightning strike. Instead of landing in Petersburg and continuing on to Wrangell, the plane diverted to Ketchikan. The airline says a maintenance technician inspected the plane and cleared it to continue flying. That flight continued on to Seattle. Passengers bound for Petersburg and Wrangell finished their journeys on Monday. The company says no other planes were hit Sunday. However, passengers report another strike. Bill Munish of Petersburg says he was on two separate flights hit by lightning in one day. He and his wife were on Flight 65 that landed in Juneau.
We were probably down, around 20,000 feet or less, and going through some clouds and whatnot. And then all of a sudden there's this more of a kind of a big pop. And then just immediately on the tail of that was this like bright flash. It was almost kind of like a reddish yellow flash. And it kind of startled everybody. Nobody panicked too bad, though, that I could tell, but it definitely caught everybody's attention.
And Munish says their connecting flight, 76, from Juneau to Seattle, also was hit.
When we took off and we're climbing out, the same thing, only this was actually a louder pop and a brighter flash. So I don't know if it was something stronger, but it was definitely louder and brighter.
And one final story this afternoon. A survey shows that alerts from new driver assist systems are so annoying that some motorists are turning the features off. The 2019 J.D. Power Tech Experience study also found that frustrated drivers may avoid the systems in future vehicle purchases. J.D. Power says the findings are a major concern for automakers who want to sell the systems and prepare drivers for automated vehicles. The survey found that 23% of drivers with systems that keep vehicles in their lanes view the alerts as annoying. The results vary by brand, with up to 30% finding the alerts bothersome in some brands. Of drivers who don't like the alerts, 61% sometimes disable the systems. J.D. Power surveyed over 16,400 people from February through July who bought or leased a 2019 vehicle in the past 90 days. And taking a look at the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island forecast from the National Weather Service, tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, lows in the mid-40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, August 27th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.